Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, March 9th, 2016. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Idaho House passes charter school teacher contract flexibility law. Senator Dan Schmidt of Moscow resigns from the Catastrophic Health Care Board. Senate committee passes plastic bag law preemption bill, and Cruz wins Idaho in the Idaho Republican primary, and local school levies pass. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Police in Washington, D.C. have arrested the former University of Idaho student who is suspected of shooting a Coeur d'Alene pastor Sunday. Secret Service agents arrested Kyle Odom as he threw items over the south fence of the White House in Washington, D.C. last night. Odom was wanted on an Idaho warrant for first-degree attempted murder. Before being found in D.C., police lost track of Odom after he fled the Coeur d'Alene shooting scene and headed to Spokane and then points south. Police found Odom's Honda Accord in Boise and determined he had taken a flight to Washington, D.C. The 30-year-old Odom was unarmed when arrested at the White House. The Secret Service was examining what they called suspicious items Odom threw over the fence. Authorities say some of the items were flash drives. Prosecutors in the District of Columbia Superior Court charged Odom with being a fugitive from justice. A judge set an April 6th extradition hearing date for Odom and set no bail, meaning he will stay in jail in D.C. at least until then. Odom is an ex-Marine who attended the University of Idaho between 2011 and 2014 and earned a biochemistry degree there. Altar Church pastor Tim Remington is recovering from 6 gunshot wounds in a hospital. He was gunned down in his church parking lot Sunday at about 2 p.m. A bullet hit him in the head but did not penetrate his skull. He also was reportedly hit in a lung. He is expected to survive and may be released from the hospital as early as next week. The Spokesman Review reports Odom sent letters and electronic documents to several media outlets, which arrived yesterday, in which he claimed Remington is a Martian and is a member of an ancient civilization from Mars. Coeur d'Alene Police Chief Lee White said Odom also targeted Altar Church Outreach Pastor John Padula, who was under police protection while Odom was on the run. Kootenai County prosecuting attorney Barry McHugh is expected to prosecute the shooting case once Odom is extradited to Idaho. Idaho Supreme Court Chief Justice Jim Jones has announced he won't run for re-election this year after serving 2 6-year terms on the High Court. The 73-year-old Jones says he is retiring. He also served 2 4-year terms as state attorney general and served as lead attorney in the Snake River adjudication case before winning an election to the Supreme Court. In Idaho, judicial elections are nonpartisan and appear on the primary ballot. This year's primary is scheduled for Tuesday, May 17th. Idaho attorney Clive Strong has announced he will run for Jones' seat. The Spokesman Review quoted Strong saying, "As a native Idahoan who has lived and worked throughout the state, I have the background and breadth of experience required to be an effective Supreme Court justice." Former Governor Dirk Kempthorne, a Republican, and former Governor Cecil Andrus, a Democrat, have endorsed Strong. House Speaker Scott Bedke of Oakley has also endorsed Strong. Democratic State Senator Dan Schmidt of Moscow has resigned from the Idaho Catastrophic Health Care Fund Board. saying he cannot continue to serve on a board he doesn't think should exist. Schmidt met with the board 6 times a year to authorize catastrophic health care bill payments. Under the state's system of catastrophic health care, counties pay for the first $11,000 worth of treatment for patients deemed indigent, with the state paying the rest. Schmidt told the Spokesman Review website the board reviews 1,000 applications per year, quote, many of them leading to the bankruptcy of the afflicted, unquote. The state and counties put liens on most of the possessions of those whose health care bills are paid for under the program, including on the patient's estate after they die. Schmidt is an advocate of expanding Medicaid, which would pay much of the health care costs of people who would otherwise utilize the catastrophic health care system. Use of the catastrophic health care fund has declined significantly since Idahoans began signing up for subsidized insurance under the Federal Affordable Care Act, but Schmidt and others believe the fund will not be needed at all if the state finds a way to fund health care for the 78,000 people in the state who fall in what's called the Medicaid gap. Schmidt said he has learned a lot while serving on the board during the last 4 years and says his resignation will give another Democratic senator an opportunity to learn. Senate Minority Leader Michelle Stennett of Ketchum will appoint a replacement. The board consists of 2 senators, 2 representatives, 6 county commissioners, and a representative from the governor's office. The Idaho Senate Local Government and Taxation Committee voted 5-4 today for House Bill 372, which would prohibit local governments in the state from regulating auxiliary containers such as plastic bags or styrofoam food containers. Republican Senator Dan Johnson of Lewiston voted no, saying he's not comfortable telling local counties they can't regulate solid waste. The 2 Democrats on the committee, Michelle Stennett of Ketchum and Grant Burgoyne of Boise, joined Johnson and Republican Senator Jeff Sitaway in voting against the bill. The House voted 52-17 in favor of the bill February 3rd. It has the backing of retail groups in the state. The Idaho House yesterday voted in favor of a bill that allows charter schools to design their own teachers' contracts rather than using the contract blueprints public school districts are required to use. The party line 55-14 vote sends Senate Bill 1248 to Governor Otter for his signature. During contentious debate on the House floor, Democratic Representative Elena Rubel of Boise said the bill is, quote, a naked assault on collective bargaining. Rubel also said, we don't pay our teachers very much, but the one thing that they have been able to bargain for is some measure of protection against arbitrary dismissal. I see this leading to further recruiting problems at a time when we really can't afford that in the profession. Democratic Representative John McCrosty of Boise, who is a teacher, said the bill will create a junior varsity teaching team. Republican Patrick McDonald of Boise said the bill will give charter schools flexibility. McDonald said he didn't see any harm in letting them design their own teacher contracts. He said, let's let them do it, see if it's productive, see if it's beneficial, and if it isn't, we can always fix it. The bill passed earlier in the Senate on a 22-13 vote. In the Senate, both Republicans and Democrats voted against the bill. The Idaho School Board Association, the Idaho Education Association, and the Idaho Association of School Administrators all opposed the bill. Voters approved supplemental school levies in the Kendrick, Potlatch, and Genesee school districts yesterday. Potlatch voters approved a $1.39 million levy, with 58% voting yes. Genesee school district voters approved a $935,000 levy, with 73.8% voting in favor. Voters in the Kendrick School District approved an $860,000 supplemental levy, which was only $10,000 higher than last year's levy, with 67% voting yes. U.S. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas won the Idaho Republican primary with 45.4% of the vote. Donald Trump came in second with 28.1% statewide. U.S. Senator Marco Rubio of Florida got 15.9%, and Ohio Governor John Kasich got 7.4% of the vote in Idaho. Cruz will receive 20 out of Idaho's 32 delegates to the Republican National Convention, and Trump will receive 12. Rubio and Kasich did not meet the 20% threshold needed to receive delegates. The Associated Press quoted Republican State Senator Jim Rice of Caldwell saying, "Idahoans are looking for more substance. Trump tends to skim the issues. It's harder for him to make those inroads in Idaho. We've been about conservation for a lot longer than he has." Republican John Freeland of Moscow has filed candidacy papers for the District 5 Senate seat now held by Democrat Dan Schmidt of Moscow. Freeland ran for Moscow City Council last year, but came in fourth in the race for three open seats on the council. Candidates for public office in Idaho have until Friday afternoon at 5 p.m. to file candidacy papers to appear on ballots. The Washington House passed a bill yesterday limiting the types and amounts of police body camera footage that can be made available to the press and public. The vote was 57-39, and the bill now goes to Governor Jay Inslee's desk. The bill prohibits the release of footage showing a dead body, footage recorded in a home, or showing a minor unless the person requesting it can demonstrate a public interest in making the footage available. As the 60-day Washington legislative session winds down, Governor Inslee is threatening to veto bills if divided legislative leaders don't agree on a supplemental budget. The session is scheduled to end tomorrow, but Inslee has indicated he will immediately call a special session Friday if lawmakers don't send him a budget. Palouse police have arrested two men with $2,800 in counterfeit bills, a printer, ink cartridges, and high-quality bonded paper. According to the Daily News website, Palouse Police Chief Jerry Newman said Officer Joe Handley stopped a 24-year-old Burlington man for erratic driving and arrested him for driving under the influence. Police say they searched the vehicle and found heroin, paraphernalia, and 28 counterfeit $100 bills. Police also arrested the 32-year-old passenger on a California forgery warrant. Police Chief Newman said he believes the bills are tied to reports of counterfeit bills found recently in Washington and northern Idaho. The U.S. Secret Service has taken over the investigation. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman. Researchers at Washington State University's Vancouver campus have developed computer programs which may be able to predict how forests will change in coming decades due to climate change, clear cuts, timber harvesting, and other factors. The so-called LESS program, named for the Russian word for forest, simulates forest growth by digitally growing 100 meter by 100 meter stands of trees, which can be scaled up to forest size. The program creates virtual root and canopy systems and accounts for drought and species living in the forest. The Columbian newspaper of Vancouver, Washington, reports assistant mathematics professor Nicolay Stiegel and postdoctoral mathematics researcher Gene Linard developed the program, which digitizes virtual leaves, branches, and roots. The simulations are run on a computer on the WSU Pullman campus. Striegel said, The fear is that drier conditions in the future will prevent forests in places like Washington from reestablishing themselves after a clear cut or wildfire. This could lead to increasing amounts of once forested areas converted to desert. Our model can help predict if forests are at risk of desertification or other climate change related processes and identify what can be done to conserve these systems. A Washington State University internal investigation indicates there are deficiencies in several aspects of research at the school's Grizzly Research Center. The report says four grizzly bears have died in custody at the center recently. The center, located on Terview Drive on the eastern edge of the WSU Pullman campus, came under scrutiny over the well-being of the school's grizzly bear population, which prompted the investigation last fall. College of Agriculture, Human, and Natural Resources Associate Dean Kim Kidwell said workers at the research center euthanized two grizzly yearlings in 2010. The two had been placed in hibernation together without an adult in what is known as a culvert trap. Then researchers moved them into a veterinary isolation barn. The bears did not go back into hibernation and their health declined. Kidwell said the experience revealed bears need to learn how to hibernate. The center currently houses 13 adult bears through acquisitions from zoos, wildlife refuges, and on-site births. Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife rules only allow a maximum of 13 grizzly bears at the center. According to the report, quote, center associates acknowledge they have revised their best management practices for culvert trap hibernation by only using bears who have previously hibernated in culvert traps. The research center does not have video surveillance cameras to track bears' hibernation, something typical at other grizzly research facilities around the nation. The report says video surveillance is an area where the center needs to improve before the next hibernation cycle. Kidwell said the other two bears that were euthanized were killed last month. They were part of a research project intended for tissue sampling. The report says, quote, probably the biggest issue that can be raised with the center's standard operating procedures is that the center has permission to euthanize bears under certain circumstances. Euthanasia should be and is used on ill bears who have no hope for recovery. If only one space is open and there are multiple births, the report goes on, quote, the only solution to this problem is to euthanize some animals. The report says the center needs a larger, updated facility and better communication between the center and the Office of Campus Veterinary Services. The Moscow Police Department will start emphasis patrols this weekend as part of a plan to look for impaired drivers. The patrol procedure will run through March 20th in conjunction with other state agencies in an effort to reduce or eliminate traffic fatalities in Idaho. Well, that's it for the KRFP evening report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service. Rain moving in tonight. 80% chance of precipitation. Steady temperature around 45. Southeast winds 15, gusts up to 20. Tomorrow, 90% chance of rain, low 42. Southeast winds 10 to 15, gusts up to 25. Thursday, 90% chance of rain, high 51. Southwest winds 10 to 20 with gusts up to 30 miles an hour. Thursday night, 80% chance of showers before 10 p.m., then a slight chance of rain after 4 a.m., low 34. 50% chance of rain Friday, mainly after 10 a.m., mostly cloudy, high 51. Currently at the Pullman Moscow Regional Airport, light rain, 47 degrees. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next, the weekly news magazine Between the Lines, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. And that'll be followed at 7:30 by This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian news magazine, also from Pacifica Radio. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $15. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. I'm Lee Robartis. Jim Roach assisted with tonight's newscast. Remember, all editions of the KRFP Evening Report are available for download or streaming shortly after broadcast. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online.